Morning, everybody. I love Family Sunday. And if you're one of those parents who gets nervous because your kids are wiggly, I just want you to just know this is not a place where children need to be silent. Children are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. And that's why this school year we're going to be doing 6 Family Sundays. And I think it's really important for kids to be part of what's going on here. But we also need to make it fun for kids too, right? And you've been sitting in your seats for a really long time. So boys and girls, I'm going to talk to you a little bit, but I would love it if you would come up here. Mr. Steve was nice enough to help me move the first row. So boys and girls, would you kind of come on up here? And while they do, I want to tell you moms and dads that that's okay. I want to tell you guys that we are wrapping up our story series today. All month long, we've heard some really great stories and talked about how God has been working in our lives. And this has roughly been based on the book of Acts and the Acts Church. And so today we're going to continue. But first, before I tell my story, I'm going to tell Nehemiah's story. That's it. That's a little tighter than you guys are used to sitting, isn't it? Well, boys and girls, today is the first day of September. It's a new month, so it's a new life app. And for your moms and dads and the other grown-ups that don't know, the reason we talk about life apps or virtues is because these are something that God does in us to change the world around us. These are attributes of God, and we just think it's so important for kids to know the character of God if they're really going to develop a relationship with God. We think that's a really good starting point. So today's life app is a word you may or may not have heard. It's initiative. Have you guys heard of that word? Can you say it with me? Initiative.
Initiative.
Okay, how about if we look at the definition for that together? How does that sound? It's seeing what needs to be done and doing it. Can you guys say that with, we're engaging with the kids, but grown-ups, I want you to participate too, okay? Okay. Let's show them how we do it, all right, in kids' church. All right. Initiative is seeing what needs to be done and doing it. Okay, we're going to play a game. Raise your hand if you have ever seen trash on, and grown-ups, this is for you too. If you've ever seen trash on the ground that wasn't yours, that you didn't leave, and you decided that you should just pick it up. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. All right. Good job. Okay, raise your hand if you've ever seen your favorite toy or game. For grown-ups, this could be a tablet or an iPhone or something, out of place and in a place that you didn't last leave it. And you decided, I am just going to move it and put it back in place without causing a fuss about it. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Good. Okay, now last one. Here's the last one. Raise your hand if you've ever seen somebody sitting alone, like at recess or for grown-ups, like at a party or a parent night or something, somebody just sitting all alone, and you decided you would walk over and sit next to them or help them out and be friendly. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Good job. Look at all those hands. You guys have shown initiative, and I don't even know if you knew that was what you were doing. And here's the thing about seeing what needs to be done. It's hard because I remember when I was a little girl and it was recess time, we had a merry-go-round at our school. Do you guys know what that is? Okay. Well, we had a merry-go-round. And so I had an agenda planned for recess time. I wanted to hit the merry-go-round first because, you know, there was always a line for it and we had to take turns. And then I wanted to do the monkey bars. And then if I had time, I wanted to swing. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm here. Anybody have monkey bars growing up in your schools? Yeah. And merry-go-rounds? Okay. Yeah, that's fun. So anyhow, I had an agenda, and there was a lot for me, my little, you know, third grade brain to think about running out into the playground, and I didn't really take time or notice what other people were doing. If somebody was sitting alone, I was making a beeline to the merry-go-round. So sometimes we have to switch things up and really be intentional and think about looking and being on the lookout for what needs to be done. Now, I'm really, really excited to share today's Bible lesson with you guys because it's just really a cool one. It comes from the Old Testament. And the person I'm going to talk about is somebody who had initiative big time. He really did. And his name is the name of one of the books of the Old Testament. Can you guess what it is? It starts with an N. I don't know if we've ever talked about it in kitchen. Do you know, Abby?
You said it earlier.
I did? Nehemiah. You were listening. Good job. Nehemiah. You guys, he had big time initiative. So we're going to look a little bit at Nehemiah's story and learn a little bit more about him. I'm telling you guys, I should let your parents know, every time we talk about fun names in the Bible, I always urge the kids to name their pets these weird, well, they're not weird, but they're Bible names. So I'm just looking forward to the day that somebody says, my cat Nehemiah had kittens. Well, that wouldn't work, would it? You know what I mean, though, right? Okay, so the most important, here's a few things you need to know about Nehemiah, okay? First of all, he had a very interesting job. He was the drink tester for the king of Susa. And that meant that he was the first person that tasted the king's drink, so that if there was poison or something, somebody was trying to poison the king, it would get Nehemiah first. So that was a very dangerous job, and it was a very important job. And the king of Susa, I don't know if you guys, this is a name I really like. This is one of those Bible names I really like. His name was King Artaxerxes. Can you guys say that? Artaxerxes. That would be really hard to name a dog Artaxerxes, wouldn't it? Can you imagine telling Artaxerxes to come on in? It would be really hard. Well, anyhow, you could just call him Artie. That's true. Well, the thing about Nehemiah is his family was not from Susa. His family was from a place that was far away in Jerusalem. And they all had to leave because Jerusalem was destroyed years before. And it was totally destroyed, and most everybody had to leave the town. But that was where he really cared about Jerusalem. I mean, remember, this is the place we've talked about. The temple of God, and this is where the temple of God was. And Nehemiah was a Jew, and he loved God, and he was far away from the temple and from his people, and that was hard for him. Well, a few years went by as he was being taste tester, drink tester, and he found out that the people were going back to visit. People were allowed to go back and visit Jerusalem. Well, his brother was one of those people. His brother Hanani came and told him some bad news. He said, Nehemiah, I just went back to our hometown, and it's in a bad way. It's in bad shape. The wall that protected the city is totally down, and so all our people are really vulnerable, and they're in a really bad way. And the Bible tells us that Nehemiah was so sad at hearing this news. Like, it says he cried for days. And he didn't even eat. He was so upset, and it just really bothered him. This place that meant so much to him was not doing well, and his people weren't doing well. And so he knew he had to do something. So the first thing he did, and I think this is so important, he prayed. The very first thing he did was pray. And we're going to read what that prayer was together here in just a second. This is what Nehemiah said to God. He said, Lord, you are the God of heaven. You are a great and wonderful God. You keep the covenant you made with those who love you and keep your commandments. You show them your love. Next slide. Lord, please pay careful attention to my prayer. Have you guys ever said that to God? Lord, please pay careful attention to my prayer. Listen to the prayers of all of us. We take delight in bringing honor to your name. Give me success today when I bring my request to King Artaxerxes. Sounds to me like he had a little bit of a plan, but he knew he needed the king's help. So he went to King Artaxerxes, and King Artaxerxes saw that he was really sad. He just thought he was sick. He's like, what's going on? Are you sick or something? And he said, I'm really sad. And he told King Artaxerxes why he was sad. And he ended by saying, when he told his whole story, he ended by saying what he really wanted to do. He wanted to know if King Artaxerxes would let him go back to Jerusalem. So he'd have to take time off, and the king would have to find another drink tester. I don't think there's a lot of people that wanted that job. And then he also asked for letters. Kind of, there were letters to keep him safe, kind of like a passport, you know, but not really, kind of like a passport. And he asked for letters to keep him safe. And then the last thing he was going to ask was for building materials. So what do you guys think King Artaxerxes said? If you think he said yes, but give me a thumbs up. And if you think he said no, give me a thumbs down. I love it. Grown-ups are helping. Yes. King Artaxerxes said yes. And guess what? See, this is the thing that I think is really neat, because so many times, you guys, we pray and we ask God to help us with stuff, and then God takes our prayers, he hears our prayers, and then he does way more than we could ever ask for. So he gave Nehemiah time off. He gave Nehemiah all the tools that he asked for. Can you hand me that, Allie? He gave Nehemiah letters for safe passage, and then he did something else. He gave Nehemiah his own army officers and horses so that Nehemiah could be really safe. Isn't that amazing? Nehemiah had a plan, and he went to God first, and God blessed him beyond measure, because, and just like this little tower is coming together, even though Nehemiah hadn't even started building the wall yet, all the things started to come together for Nehemiah too. And the wall was an important thing back then, because it helped keep people safe, but it also represented something more for Nehemiah. It represented the safety for his people and for his faith. Having a temple and having a place to worship the one true God was so important to him. So there was so much, it was a wall, but it was so much more than a wall too. So I just want you guys to know that when you guys are faced with things, you're never going to have to rebuild a wall. I mean, like the wall of Jerusalem. It's just, and you're probably never going to have to talk to a king and ask him to help you with that. But, and I hope none of you are ever drink testers, but the thing is that you should know is that you're going to be faced with things that are really challenging one day. And I hope you never have something that makes you sad, that you cry for days and days and makes you so sad that you don't want to eat. But if you do, I want you to remember Nehemiah and remember that you can go and pray and God will hear you. God will hear you. And sometimes when we do that, God gives us an idea about how we can make a difference. So the thing about Nehemiah that I want you to remember today is that he saw what needed to be done. He went to God and prayed about it, and then he went to do it. He was willing to go where God wanted him to go. And that's really what initiative is all about. But let's look at our bottom line for today, is be on the lookout for what needs to be done. Can you guys say that with me? Be on the lookout for what needs to be done. That's right. And it's not just about picking up trash and doing dishes and doing chores like that. It's about people. And here's the thing that I'm really excited about. You guys are so good at helping other people. I've seen you guys do it at kids' church. I've seen you do it when you're here at church and you're staying for the brunch or whatever. You guys are really helpful to each other. But you're also really helpful to what's happening in our community. You guys have raised supplies and things for our local food bank. You guys participated in the Global 6K. That was a need. You guys heard, we heard as a church, that there are places in the world where people don't have water, and we said we can help. I think that's just as ambitious as Nehemiah building the wall. We can make a difference. So be open and look for what needs to be done, and then pray about it and see what God wants you to do. See, you guys, there is no telling what you could do. The reason I ever started for the very first time sponsoring a child was because a fourth grade girl came to me and said, "I sponsor children and I think you should too." And for me, that was the beginning of a really wonderful thing for me personally, but also for ministry, because I realized, you know what? There are so many things that you guys can do. So be on the lookout. We're going to be doing the Thanks and Giving calendar again, and that's a really neat way and a really fun way to get involved with your family on how to help people in need. And if you see an idea, if you see or think of something that needs to get done, you can tell a grown-up around you, or you can come and tell me if you say, "Hey, Miss Pastor Angel, we need to be doing this." I will listen to you, because you guys are the church of today, and I know that God is working in your hearts too. Now, that was Nehemiah's story. And I'm going to have you guys go back to your parents. And if you need to stop at one of the back tables and get crayons and coloring packets and your God time cards, you can do that first. But I'm going to tell a little bit about my story now, okay? And don't worry, I know I tell you guys all kinds of stories, but you haven't heard this one before, I promise. You can go back to your parents now. I mean, unless you guys want them to stay with me. So, like you said, all this month we've been telling our story, and earlier in the month, somebody asked me when they were going to hear my story. Well, you guys, I turned 50 this year, so we don't have time for my story this morning, but it's really not even about that. It's about how God is working in our lives, and something this year recently happened that I do want to share with you. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about me. I'm the children's pastor here, and I've been here for a really long time, but I think I've been on staff as children's pastor for 10 years. You almost have never seen my husband here, but I am married, happily. We've been married for 29 years, and I think I have a picture of me and Tom on our trip. It's a selfie, and I don't have a good selfie game, but I think it's kind of hilarious that my selfies are so bad. So that's us in Mendocino. This last June, we had a really great time. And then there's a picture of my family. We have three children, Elizabeth, Emily, and Dylan, and we picked up Austin along the way. Austin is our granddaughter's daddy, and our granddaughter is Maisie. So that's all of us on Christmas, and I think Christmas Eve. And my story is also wrapped up in their stories. I'm just going to tell you, when they struggle, I struggle. And boy, oh boy, do I get down on my knees and pray then. This next picture is what I really want to talk to you about. This is my mom. Holding Maisie. This was taken last October. And you'll notice Elizabeth and Emily are kind of really right on Grandma. Well, the reason is Grandma had Alzheimer's. And so Grandma didn't know that she couldn't get up and walk around with a baby. And so we kind of had to maneuver all around her the whole weekend, which was fine. It was a really good time. And I'm really thankful that we got to go take that trip, because my mom passed away in April. So that's the last picture I have with all of them together, and first and only, but I still have a lot of feelings about that, and God is still working in my life about that, but I wanted to share a little bit about that with you. So 7 years ago, my father passed away, and that was when my sister and I realized that my mom's undiagnosed condition was so much worse than we knew. And that first week, I had to tell her every day that Dad died. And so it was reliving that moment for me over and over again, because every single time I told her, and sometimes multiple times in a day, it was brand new news to her. So she was reliving the freshness of that pain over and over and over again. And I got to tell you, that it was brutal. It was brutal to have to do that, because it just was really hard. I was still processing my own grief, but doing that with my mom was really, really hard, because it hurt her every time. And you guys, she was the best mom. I was so blessed. I am so blessed that she was my mother. Yeah, I just can't even tell you. She was full of life and love, and she was a lot of fun too. And we became really, really good friends towards the end. It was hard though. And there's a lot I could tell you. I'm going to fast forward through those 7 years, though, to the last year. And every time I went to visit her, and I went as often as I could, it was hard, because I wanted to see her, but it was hard to see her, too. Hard to see how she was. And I'm just going to be real. It was a little annoying, too, to be asked the same question 50 times in 15 minutes. It just was annoying. And so, you know, you go to see your mom, and you want to have this really great connection, but it's just a broken record, and it's just, she had a loop, and it was just feeding the loop over and over and over again the whole time. So you left kind of not feeling like you were able to have a really great visit. Whenever I left, it was really bittersweet. She did get to the point where she didn't know who I was. In this picture, we left that day, and my girl said, you know, she doesn't know us. I didn't know what to expect, but she knew we were her people. And I think for the most part, that's how it was. She didn't know who I was. Sometimes she thought I was her mom. Sometimes she thought I was her sister. One time I took a selfie with Grandma, and I showed it to her, and she looked at it, and she's like, who's that old lady? That's you. That's not me. She got so mad at me. So mad because she refused to believe that that old lady sitting next to me was actually her. Which that was one of the funny things. But the thing about Alzheimer's and the thing about this situation was, see, where was the hope in that? Like one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Well, where's the hope and future in this? Because it's a steady decline. And I rationalized it and I thought, okay, well, the hope is heaven. I mean, and that is enough. But it was just really, really hard to go and see her. And I think I just cried to God every time. And I tried to ignore it. And I tried to just be steadfast and hold on and know that God had a plan. But even though I couldn't understand it, I just trusted God and I love God. And she loved God. And she was so ready to go home and see Jesus. She told me one time that she had a dream that Jesus built a house for her. And that there's room there too. There wasn't room for my sister, but there was room for me. So, and you know, I grew to love all the residents there in her little memory care place. There was this one time I went to talk to the director. And Jerry, I don't know, boys and girls, he was like 85. I don't know if you have a grandma or grandpa or great grandma and grandpa that's 85. But Jerry was sitting at the director's desk and he kind of looked like he was the principal's office. And he was, because he stole somebody's hearing aid and he refused to give it back. That was funny. And then there was Butchie. Butchie was my mom's really good friend. They were like the Bobbsey twins, and they would sit in the dining room, and it was almost like they thought that they were at a restaurant. They just really had no idea where they were, but they just thought they were always going out on the town. So it was really cute and really fun. And I'm thankful for those memories, and I'm thankful for those good times too, because they helped me get through some of the hard stuff. And the people that cared for my mom. Oh my gosh, we are so blessed that the people that cared for her loved her so much. I mean, they would call me, they would tell me what's going on. And actually, in the last 2 weeks when I was down there, it became a situation where I started having to comfort them because they were having a hard time coping. And the hospice nurse told me, this is something that happens and, you know, they're not used to this kind of grief with a resident, and so they are going to be taking cues from you. So, I mean, it was just a weird, hard, brutal time, and I mean, most of all, it was just really hard to see my mom that way. And I don't want to say I ever left there thinking, what a waste, right? But for those 7 years, I did think, she never wanted this. This isn't the life she wanted. She didn't want to be like, she always said she wanted to just go on out. She didn't. And it just was really, really hard to see her like that. And then not knowing when it was going to end. I mean, Alzheimer's is not a linear progression disease. It's up and down and backwards and sideways and all the way around. And there's no real answers for, well, what about this? It's always, well, I don't know. So it was hard. And then when we decided to have a service for my mom, you know, when the time came and we had a service for her, it was a big Catholic affair. So, you know, there was a lot of, I mean, there was the viewing and the rosary and the funeral at the church and the mass and then the graveside service. And we decided to add one more because the residents cared for my mom so well. We wanted to have a memorial service for her there. And so we did, and I'm really glad we did. Butchie and Jerry were there, and along with some of her other friends, and also the caregivers. And during that memorial, two caregivers came to me separately, independently, and they told me the same thing. They said, we want you to know. I mean, it had been like 4 weeks, and they said, we want you to know that without your mom, there is a hole in our area in our memory care unit that cannot be filled. There is a malaise among everybody because your mom was the first person to engage with the other residents, comfort a resident when she was sad or he was sad, hold somebody's hand, help somebody, and just brought so much life to her community. And that was a really big aha for me because those were not wasted years. God showed me that the hope was always there, that he heard my prayers, he was always already there, and she was a vital part of her community. She was loved, and she loved those around her. She was cared for, and she cared for those around her. That she had a place and a purpose, and God was using her. Even though it was the bleakest of situations, he had a place for her. And I feel so blessed to know that and have that realization, because I think we don't always get that. Life is hard, and we have the hope of heaven, and we don't always know why things are the way they are. But I feel like God really showed a truth to me. And I can tell you, I will never again, in the bleakest of times, try to rationalize the situation or rationalize what I think God is doing. I will just trust. I will just trust that he is there, that he is good, and that something good can happen, even if I don't see it, even if I don't ever know it. I'm just going to trust that. I'm just really thankful that God showed that to me. And I wanted to share that with you. And I want to tell you guys, there have been so many people in our church that have prayed for me and prayed for my mom. There were times where we had some really hard conversations that I had to have with a sibling, and I asked for prayer going into it. And oh, I remember flying down this one day, and I was almost shaking when I got off the plane. I just had so much dread at having this confrontation. And I'd asked quite a few people to pray for me. And do you know, when I got there, it was like I just had this sense of calm and this sense of peace. And I won't say it was easy, but it was just, everything went better than I could expect it. It was almost like I was floating on a cloud. Like, I felt like I was just floating along, because you know what? I was uplifted with prayer. So we've been sharing our stories, and I just want to encourage you to share your stories with each other. Ask someone to pray for you. Invite somebody into your story. We are one church doing life together, and it begins with us being real with each other and letting each other in. It is not about having it all together, you guys. It's about relying on God, relying on each other, and seeing what needs to be done and relying on him to do it. Great things can happen. So I just want to encourage you that way. You've heard Nehemiah's story. You heard my story. Now I'm encouraging you to share your stories. And I want to end with saying the Lord's Prayer. And boys and girls, I thought about you guys, so we're kind of got some graphics to do the Lord's Prayer. See, the Lord's Prayer is the first prayer my mom taught me. And so I still remember being a little girl laying in bed and saying that prayer while she was in the bathroom doing her curlers. It's a very old-fashioned thing. So I was hoping we could say it together. Will you guys do that with me? Okay, here we go. This is the Lord's Prayer. So boys and girls, remember, when we're praying to God, even though it doesn't seem like it because our eyes are open and we're reading, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen? Amen. Go in peace. Amen.